Please do. I want to ask the Lord to be gracious to us this morning in helping us learn more about Christ. So thank you all for singing. What a great reminder to our hearts this morning as we gather. We're in 2 Timothy. The outline is on the screen this morning, chapter 2. We're going to be in verses 8 to 13 this morning, and we will just begin this section that's going to run for a few weeks. May finish it up next week, but this is so rich and so helpful to us this morning. And so 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'm going to read the verses to us this morning, beginning in verse 8 all the way down to verse 13. 2 Timothy 2, verse 8 down to verse 13. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to imprisonment as a criminal. But the word of God is not imprisoned. For this reason, I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it, eternal glory. It is a trustworthy statement. For if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Let's pray this morning, church. Lord, we gather this morning as your people, called by your name, and we want to certainly remember Christ. This is our hope. He is our hope. So this morning, bring us back to the basics of what it means to know Christ in a saving way. Help us to celebrate Christ through the application of your word and as we go to the Lord's table. We pray this morning, Lord, that your word is explained accurately and applied precisely by the work of your Spirit to every heart here. We ask this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. We live in a society that lacks motivation. We live in a society that's truly unmotivated. Some people need motivation to go to work. Some people need motivation to stick with a diet. Some people need motivation in sports, or in events, or in occasions. In fact, there is so much lack of motivation in our world that people will pay for motivational speakers. They will pay for people to come in and motivate them. What used to be just the job of the football coach is now a huge industry in the world. Motivational speaking in 2019 generated $1.9 billion in revenue. In America alone, the average motivational speech or speaker earns over $100,000 a year. The average motivational speech costs about $3,000. But some motivational speeches will cost you much more. In fact, former presidents, former politicians command up to six figures per speech. This is the need in our world for motivational speakers. And why is that? Because we're a demotivated culture. We lack motivation in a lot of areas in our lives. We live amongst people who aren't excited to do anything. Give them a TV, give them a couch, give them a bag of chips, and they'll watch TV until you put them into the grave. There are people like that in our world that aren't motivated to really do anything. And so the question before us this morning, if you profess Christ and claim to be saved, I would ask you this morning as we gather as a church, what motivates you every day? What motivates you every day, church? What gets you up out of bed? What makes you do what you do? Is it the lure of money? Is it the looming prospect of bills and expenses in your life? Is it the lure of a better looking body as you get up early and train and run or do whatever you do? What is the motivation that gets us all out of bed each day? Is it simply the elbow of your spouse that says it's time to go to work, honey? What motivates you? And it's a good question in your lives. What motivates you each day? Well, to get us back to 2 Timothy, Timothy was a man that lacked motivation. He lacked motivation. He was a man that was growing timid. He was a man that was growing fearful. And so he lacked motivation in his role as pastor and elder and teacher in the church at Ephesus. He was a man faltering in his faith, and so it was hard for him to get going doing anything because of the fear that overwhelmed him. And we've talked about Timothy's fears. He's likely fearful of maybe going to jail like Paul. He's fearful of folks in his own church who probably don't like his teaching. He's fearful of losing his job, losing his income. And guess what? Fearful people, they're hard to motivate. I'll give you an example in our own world. All right, COVID hit and people were fearful for their physical safety. And so they love to stay at home. They love to not engage, to not take part in everyday life. In fact, it's so easy to, when I think about it, it's really, when we look at the world over the past 2 years, the fact that so many people did go home and didn't go to work should be alarming to us, but it's another symptom of a society that's not motivated. They're not motivated to do anything. And that was really the mentality of Timothy. He's a fearful man. He has fear of others. He has fear of failure. He has a legitimate fear of jail. That's where his mentor, Paul, was as he wrote this second letter. And so Timothy has well-founded fears. And those fears in Timothy's life are keeping him from a strong spiritual life and from bold preaching and bold leadership. So the Lord inspires Paul to write him a second letter. Now remember, we already saw 1 Timothy. But this second letter that comes from the Lord to Timothy through Paul is meant to inspire him, to motivate him, to encourage him, and ultimately to command him, to be motivated. Now the first letter that we looked at some months ago, 1 Timothy, was really about how Timothy needed to start in ministry. How is the church organized? What are you to do, Timothy? What's the priority of the gospel? And so Timothy, from what we know, started out fairly strong. He obeyed the Lord, did the things he needed to do to lead the Ephesian church. But 5 years later, roughly, we can't know that for certain, a second letter comes from the Lord. And this time the call is to get started again, Timothy. You have faltered. You have failed. You are on the brink of withdrawing altogether from ministry. And so what is the command of 2 Timothy? Timothy, fulfill your ministry. God saved you. God equipped you. God called you. And your role is to obey your commander in chief. Your role is to live as someone pleasing to him. Now, what are the practical implications of Timothy getting back into ministry and doing things rightly? First of all, that church in Ephesus needed good biblical leadership. They were surrounded by false teachers. They were living in an area of the world in Ephesus where new ideas and a very sinful culture existed. So that church needed strong biblical leadership. But in a secondary way, Timothy needed to go back into ministry and fulfill his ministry because Paul was about to be killed for his faith. And certainly there will be a lot of people asking Timothy, looking to Timothy for encouragement and help in ministry. And so 2 Timothy is really, to kind of borrow from our language, it's a kick in the pants for Timothy. Stop faltering, stop being timid, and follow the Lord. Fulfill your ministry. But why must Timothy do this? I mean, why? What's the motivation? I mean, you know, you walk into the forest, everything's a threat. I mean, I walk to my dumpster, everything's a threat. So why is there a need? What's the motivation? Why go out and do what you're called to do? Well, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 to 13 are going to give us four reasons Timothy needed to be motivated. Timothy needed to fulfill his ministry. These are four reasons, as you see in the title, for Timothy to get out of bed every morning. So we're going to see these beginning this week and into next week. We're going to see four principles that should motivate Timothy to fulfill his ministry. And these flow into all of our lives this morning, church, if you call yourself a believer. These principles flow into your life as well. If you are here this morning really unmotivated to serve the Lord, 2 Timothy 2, 8 to 13 will help you. It will get you motivated. If you find yourself this morning at church saying, is church work really worth all the trouble? 2 Timothy 2, 8 to 13 will give you motivation. Or maybe you're in a ministry and you're just discouraged that there's no fruit in the ministry. We've ministered. We've been faithful. Well, 2 Timothy 2, 8 to 13 will give you some encouragement. In that case, these verses will simply get you motivated to be faithful. To be faithful. And so these verses will help anyone in here this morning who's lacking motivation. Fear is rising. So let's begin this morning in verse 8. And we won't get much farther, and we really don't need to, because verse 8 is so incredibly important to every believer. And so I call verse 8 in my little outline, the Lord is worthy. Why do we, and what does motivate us? The Lord is worthy. Look at verse 8 again. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel. A little secret about my life. I would have never made it through elementary school, middle school, high school, college, seminary, whatever, if I didn't have mnemonic devices in my life. A mnemonic device is something that helps you remember something else. You have to have these little songs or jingles or acronyms to help you remember important things. And mnemonic devices, the first one I remember is in fourth grade. In fourth grade, it's physical science, and our job is to learn all the planets after the sun. So you had to remember the sun and every planet in order. And so in fourth grade science, Mrs. Moss, who was no relation, which that would have been a good idea to have her related to me because I needed help. But anyway, Mrs. Moss taught us a mnemonic device to help us remember the planets in order. Some mornings, very early, Mrs. Jones sells us new pencils. That was the sentence that sticks with me to this day to help me remember the planets in order. The first letter of every word in the sentence helps me remember all the planets beginning with the sun. And so new pencils, I am old enough to remember when Pluto was a planet. What a glorious time to be alive. Now it would just be Mrs. Jones sells us new, period, right? Because Pluto's been kicked out. But these things are very important. In math class, you're learning order of operations. My dear Aunt Sally. You multiply, divide, add, and subtract. My dear Aunt Sally, right? You don't know how to handle the parentheses, the brackets, and all that. Just follow the order of operations. And so these things were very important. They followed me all the way to seminary, trying to understand how to remember important things. This is how we live in the world. Well, if you look at verse 8, the Greek word for remember in verse 8, and I always butcher this Greek word, it is mnemonuo. And if you take that word, that gives us the English word mnemonic. Mnemonic devices come from this Greek word that simply means to remember. We need to remember certain things, and so we make these rhymes and these devices to help us remember. And let me tell you, for the Christian, there is nothing more important to our life and sanctification than remembering Jesus Christ. This is the central aspect and truth of who we are as God's people. And I know you're saying, that seems like elementary. It seems like an elementary basic truth of being a Christian, to remember Jesus Christ. And it is, but it's also vitally important for all of us, if you're saved and here this morning. Jesus Christ must fill your heart and your mind from salvation to glorification. And all along the way, Christ must fill your mind. Now, you're going to say, how do I do that? We're going to get to that. We're going to see that some in these verses. But understand, this is an important aspect, the most important aspect of living a life pleasing to the Lord. Now, let me give you another little thing that I learned in school. The verb in verse 8 is present imperative active. And you're like, what's that mean? Simply remember, it's not just remember one time. It is always be remembering Jesus Christ. That's what this verb means in the original Greek. Always be remembering Jesus Christ. If you're a parent in here, you give your children active imperative verbs. You tell your kids, I don't care where you're at in the world, you better always be obeying us. That's the sense of here. The Lord commands Timothy and commands us to always be remembering Jesus Christ. Right? We tell this to our children. I don't care if you're in the backyard or you're in China. You always be obedient to the rules your parents have put in your life. And this is a reminder to us as believers. It doesn't matter where we're at. Physically or where we're at spiritually in our lives as believers. Geographically, spiritually, we are always to be people remembering Jesus Christ. Let me give you a short list. What does that include? That means when you're at church, you're remembering Christ. That means when you're at home, you're remembering Christ. That means when you're at work, you're remembering Christ. When you're in the car, you're remembering Christ. When you're on the phone with customer service, you are remembering Jesus Christ. Where you're at the family reunion, when you're at the ball game, when you're in public, and when you're in private, you are remembering Jesus Christ. This is the mantra, the motto of the Christian life. There shouldn't be a moment in your lives where you aren't remembering Christ. Now, the question is, and I hope you have it in your mind already, what do I need to remember about Christ? And I'll tell you, that question I could preach from now until the Lord raptures the church or raptures me or takes me to the grave, and I would never run out of sermons. The list of what to remember about Christ is endless. And so how do we narrow it down? Well, we get some help here from the Lord through Paul. We're going to get some help because, first of all, we can't remember everything at all times about Christ. So what do we need to remember? We'll look back at verse 8. The first truth we need to remember about Christ is that He is risen from the dead. And again, that truth is also an endless list. How often could you preach and think about the resurrection? How many aspects of the resurrection do you need to remember? There's so many things to remember just about the fact that Christ is risen from the dead. But what should we remember about that on a daily basis? Number one, you must remember that Christ is risen from the dead, and it should remind you that Christ was sinless. In fact, what we're going to see in these verses in verse 8 is going to be a picture of what to remember. You need to remember, first of all, Jesus is deity. He's God Himself. And how do we remember that? Because Christ is risen from the dead. He was sinless, therefore death couldn't hold Him. And so there's a certain aspect about Christ. He is fully man and fully God. And so as we look at this verse, what sticks out first? The fact of Christ's deity. He was risen from the dead. Simple, if you think about it, sinful people stay dead. Because that is the penalty of sin. What else should you remember about the resurrection of Christ on a constant basis? You must remember that Christ's sacrifice for sin on the cross was approved by the resurrection. That means it was enough. That means you don't work your fingers to the bone every day trying to improve your standing with God. Christ rose from the dead, therefore we and He is satisfied. So we remember that Christ has risen from the dead. It's an important truth. A third truth of the resurrection that we need to always be remembering is the assurance that all who put their faith alone in Christ alone will be resurrected themselves. Because Christ is the first fruits, those who are in Him will follow as fruits of those who have put their faith in Him. So as we look at what to remember about Christ, the list begins with the resurrection. However, I think in the context of 2 Timothy 2 verse 8, I think the primary truth that the Lord is trying to communicate to Timothy in his situation, in Ephesus, in his timidity, and in his fear is simple. Timothy, you need to always remember that Christ is God. Now, what does this mean for Timothy? Right, what does the fact that Christ is God mean for Timothy? Well, let's state the obvious. First of all, Timothy needed to remember that Jesus is not just a man. He's not just another rabbi. He's not just another prophet. Jesus is God in the flesh, and so he's been raised from the dead. And why did Timothy need to remember that? Simple. A man who is fearful is always looking around at his surroundings. He's always looking at who's going to be displeased and who's going to be pleased, who's going to be happy and who's going to be sad. And so a man filled with fear and timidity has his eyes everywhere except where they need to be, which is up to heaven. Because Christ has been resurrected and seated at the right hand of the Father. And guess what? He's the one looking at your life. He's the one you must please. It's not the things around you. It's the God above you. And if Christ has been raised and Christ has been seated, Christ as God is seeing everything that Timothy is doing. Christ is seeing the mornings that Timothy said, you know what? I'm just going to stay in bed today. I've had enough of ministry. I've had enough of the fear of man. I'm going to sit in bed. Christ sees that. Because Christ ain't in the grave, Timothy. Christ is risen from the dead. He has ascended to heaven. And his eyes are on you. In human terms, Timothy's boss had a camera in Timothy's office at all times. That's who Christ is. Not just for Timothy, but for all who call themselves believers. Christ has a camera in your office, in your car, at your work, and when you're all by yourself. This is who Christ is. So the call here for Timothy to remember Christ is, look, remember Christ is watching Timothy. He's not in the ground. He's not in the tomb. He's risen from the dead, and he has absolute authority and access to everything in your life, Timothy. So you better be aiming to please him. You better be aiming to please the Lord because your master is alive and well. So what did Timothy need to be doing? Look back up to verses 1 to 7. We saw this for the past few weeks. What did Timothy need to be doing? Timothy needed to make sure he better be teaching other men. Timothy better be sure that he was engaging in warfare as a faithful soldier of Christ. Timothy better be sure that he was competing and in the race as an athlete. And Timothy better be sure that he was working hard as a farmer. Because fear will keep you in bed. Fear will keep you unmotivated. Fear will say, I'm just going to throw in the towel today. Christ is alive and risen from the dead, it better motivate us all to get out of bed and get busy serving him. Amen, church? We better do the right thing. We better please our commander because he is the aim of our affections. He is the aim of our love. The old saying, and you know this, when the cat's away, the mice will play. The reality for all of us, Christ is never away. So there's no time to play, church. There's time to get busy serving and living according to his word, living in obedience to him, because our eyes aren't focused on what's around us. Our eyes are focused on the God over us. And this is the task in our lives. And so, Timothy, do you need motivation, Timothy? Remember Jesus Christ. He's risen from the dead, and he is noting your love of him. He is noting your service to him. He is noting your obedience to him, and he's noticing any sin in your life that needs to be eradicated. So remember Christ. Do you need motivation, Pine Grove, this morning? You need motivation to get out of bed to serve? Remember that Christ is alive. He is noting your love of him this morning. He is noting your service to him this morning. He is noting your commitment to him, and he's noting any sin in your life. This is the Christ of all of Scripture, and certainly the Christ in Timothy's life. How dare we live lives trying to please human bosses but never try to please Christ? How dare we live a life like that? Give your boss all that you got for 40 years and never think of raising your finger for Christ? It'd be better to quit your job and go poor than to grow rich serving a human boss, because the money will burn, but your commitment to Christ and your work for Him will endure forever. So how dare we forget Christ? Our call is to remember Him. Remember Christ, who is alive, and He is watching at all times. But there's a second aspect of remembering Christ in verse 8. And so, Timothy, Christ is God. He's risen from the dead. He's sitting in heaven. He's watching over you. But then we read this. Christ is also a descendant of David. Now, this seems kind of out of place. You know, if the Lord was asking Bud Moss, what would you put right here? What? I want to pick descendant of David because I'm sinful. But God in His wisdom reminds Timothy that Christ, as he remembers Christ, he needed to remember that Christ was a descendant of David. And so what does this mean? Well, again, remember, good Bible study. Y'all know this, Pine Grove. Good Bible study always goes to the context. What's around here? What's going on here? Well, if Jesus' resurrection stresses His deity, Jesus' relation to David stresses His humanity. He is God, but He is also man. And He was a descendant of David, right? Mary was a descendant of David. Joseph was a descendant of David. And so Christ is a descendant of David. And if you look at the very first chapter in the book of Matthew, you will see the genealogy of Christ. He's in the line of David. Now, why does Timothy care? How's this motivation? Remember, Timothy's not even fully Jewish. He's half Jewish, half Gentile. His mother was Jewish, but his father was a Gentile. So why would Timothy care that Jesus was a descendant of David? That seems to be like a Jewish thought, an important Jewish thought. And yet we see this right here. And what's the point for Timothy to remember? The point for Timothy to remember is that Christ is not going to stay in heaven forever. He's going to return to earth, and He's going to rule over a physical kingdom on this earth. He's going to take the throne of David in Jerusalem as He was promised by His Father, and He's going to rule this world as a descendant of David. God made that promise to him. 2 Samuel chapter 7 ought to be a very important chapter in your mind when you think about the Bible. The Davidic covenant. God promised David, one of your descendants will sit on the throne forever, on my throne. And this is who Christ is. And Timothy needed to remember that. He needed to remember that Christ was in heaven watching him, but Christ would return to earth as a king, and He would rule in the line of David. And guess what? It's often easy for Christians and believers today to forget that Christ has a future earthly ministry. Christ is returning. This isn't fables. This isn't science fiction as I read to you. The testimony of Scripture is there's a physical reality of Christ returning and ruling this earth, rapturing His church, coming back again to stomp out His enemies, setting up His kingdom for 1,000 years. That is a reality of Scripture. It's not a pipe dream. It's not something preachers like to talk about. It feels Scripture. There's a physical reality of Jesus returning to this earth. He's in heaven right now. And He's watching Timothy. But He's only in heaven while His enemies are made a footstool and He is sent back to rule this world. I hear people say all the time, man, I really wished I'd have lived in the days of Jesus. If you're a Christian, you will. You'll live in the days of Christ ruling this world, living among His people. That's a reality. Those aren't fancy Bible stories. Those are truths that are going to come true. And Timothy needed to remember that. He needed to remember that. Christ is presently aware of Timothy's ministry, but Christ is returning with rewards. He's returning with rewards for those who serve Him faithfully. And Timothy needed to constantly remember that.
Church, this isn't a show when we get together. We aren't just passing the time on a Sunday morning. Every time the church gets together, an opportunity for you to serve Him, to be faithful to your Master. Because one day He will return. And there will be a real kingdom on this earth. And so our job now is to prepare for that kingdom. To prepare for the return of our King. Because one day, the camera in Timothy's office goes off, and his boss shows up in his office. And in that day, we want to be faithful. Timothy needed to be faithful. And we need to remember that as we go about our lives. This isn't fiction. This is reality. And certainly that's great motivation for anyone to serve Christ and be motivated to serve Him and not filled with the fear of man. But I want you to notice also verse 8 this morning. Remember Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Now clearly, Paul is not taking credit for the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ is not the invention of man. Salvation is not the invention of man. Salvation, Christ, the gospel are from the mind and heart of God. No way any human would devise a plan of salvation where man didn't have to do anything. If man was given charge of the gospel, we'd say, do this, do this, do this, be saved. And so we know the gospel is a product of the mind of God, which says, by faith alone, in Christ alone, you shall be saved. So Tim and Paul isn't taking credit for the gospel. Paul is not claiming that at all. He's simply reminding Timothy that God's gospel of salvation was entrusted to him. Paul's gospel was the gospel that God gave him and the other apostles and the disciples. It was a gospel that had saved Paul, but it was also the gospel that had been put in his hands to teach to others. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. I don't think I put this on the screen. Yes, I did. Yes, you can see it on the screen or you can turn there. Not very far to get to 1 Timothy. But I want you to look at 1 Timothy just to remind us of the source of the gospel. Verse 8 of 1 Timothy chapter 1. But we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. Realizing the fact that law is not made for a righteous person, but for those who are lawless and rebellious, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for those who kill their fathers or mothers, for murderers and immoral men and homosexuals and kidnappers and liars and perjurers and whatever else is contrary to sound teaching. And here we go. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God with which I have been entrusted. Right? The gospel belongs to God. That's elementary. It's God's gospel, and it's been entrusted to Paul. It's been entrusted to other faithful men. And so the passage makes it clear Paul's not claiming authority for the gospel. But why did Timothy need to remember Christ according to Paul's gospel? What does this have to do with? Why remembered according to Paul's gospel? Well, the call here is pretty simple. Remember Christ according to the truth that you have received. In our day, it would be remember Christ as defined by Scripture. Don't remember a Christ that's a figment of someone else's imagination. Don't remember a Christ of a false teacher. Don't remember a Christ of what makes you feel good in your image of what Christ should be. Remember the Christ of the gospel of the Bible. Right? This is Paul's point to Timothy. Don't go outside. Go to what you've been taught, because we and Paul specifically was taught by Christ himself. Timothy needed to remember the true Christ. And how do we know the true Christ? By the true Word of God. This is why Scripture is so important to believers. There are many confused Christians in this world today, or should I say so-called self-professed Christians, following a Jesus that's not even remotely related to the Jesus of the Bible. There's so many people like that today. On top of that, there are many false teachers today creating a Jesus that's in no way like the Bible. And so what is the call in our lives and in Timothy's life? Remember the Christ as defined by Scripture. Remember that Christ. I had two very sweet grandmothers in my life in Whitmire. My dad's mother, I've told you, I called her my Mimi. And I had one that I simply called Grandma. And they were two very sweet ladies in my life. I stayed the majority of my early life with my dad's mother, Mimi. And Mimi, would make ham sandwiches. Pretty simple creation. Bunny bread, Duke's mayonnaise, Land of Frost ham. If you don't know Land of Frost, very thinly sliced ham. It took about 100 slices to make a sandwich. And then she would take it and cut it horizontally. That was Mimi's sandwich. I grew up in Mimi's sandwich. I go to my other grandmother's house sometime later on in my life. You know, I'm hungry. What do you like? I'm very picky. I'll take a ham sandwich, Grandma. Okay, no problem. Goes. Whole wheat bread. That thick, jelly-filled ham. It's just got jelly in it. I don't know what it is. Miracle Whip. And a diagonal slice across the sandwich. I didn't know how to eat the thing. I mean, I got it down. But in my mind, look, that's not my ham sandwich, right? It's not my ham sandwich. Now, let me be clear to all of you getting mad and ready to leave. The Bible does not define a ham sandwich. So if you have a different view, if Miracle Whip and that ham and white wheat, or wheat, what, I don't know. If that's your ham sandwich, we can't argue. We can't argue. But I'll tell you one thing. Scripture is very clear on who Christ is. It is very clear. And if you do not allow your life to be defined by the Christ of Scripture, I do have a problem. Because I must remember the Christ as defined by the gospel found in Scripture. This is the Christ. And our job is to remember that Christ. Not the Christ I made up in my mind as an unbeliever. Not the Christ that false teachers make up. Not the Christ that your good friend at church says is the Christ, but the Christ according to the gospel of God found in the Bible. That's the Christ we must remember. We must remember that Christ. Timothy needed to know that Christ. Timothy needed to remember that Christ. And when you know that Christ and you remember that Christ of Scripture, you will get out of bed. And you will be faithful to serve. And you will stick to Scripture. And you will say, bring on all the enemies of the gospel. I live to please Christ. He's the only one I live to please. I'm not going to be defined, and my life will not be defined by the world around me. It will be defined by the Christ over me. And the aim of my life, regardless of where I am geographically or spiritually, will be to please Him and remember Him. That is the aim of the Christian life. We spend most of our time looking around us and not over us, church. Let every man be proved a liar, but let Christ be proved true. I think I set off somebody's hearing aid. Sorry. Church, this is so important. The elementary, basic principles of Christianity are to remember Christ. That was true when I was 23 and the Lord saved me, and it is absolutely true and I'm 48. Remember Christ. Now, we need to go to the Lord's table, but I want to give you just a few quick thoughts. Why is this so important? Why did Timothy need to do this? Because Christ, on the mind of His people, keeps His people motivated. It is when our minds move from Christ to other things that we lose motivation. I can assure you this morning, the reality around Bud Moss's life is scary. It's scary. I'll give you an example from Scripture. Peter, seasoned fisherman, sees a storm like he's never saw. Christ is walking to him on the water. And you got to love Peter. Good old redneck Fairview Peter. Let me come to you, Jesus. Come on, Peter. He walks on the water until he notices the storm around him. What happens? Right straight into the Sea of Galilee. Save me, Christ. Save me, Christ. That's what happens, church, when we don't remember Jesus Christ. When we look at this world instead of to heaven, it's easy to sink and drown in the sea around us. I'm going to give you just a few practical suggestions, and then we're going to go to the Lord's table. So how do you remember Jesus Christ? These are just for free. Ignore them, take them, whatever. How do you do this? I'll give you just a few practical thoughts to help you think about this. Number one, remember Jesus Christ in the morning. There's no substitute for starting your day with Christ. Telling you to read your Bible in the morning is not just lip service Christianity. It's not something I learned in seminary. Start your day with Christ. You can start your day with Christ in the Old Testament, looking forward to Him. You can start your day with Christ in the epistles, looking back at Him. I would suggest, highly suggest, you start your day many times in the Gospels. Seeing Christ, reading about Christ, seeing His glory. Number two, remember Jesus Christ in personal discipleship. Find someone in your life who will hold you accountable to grow in your understanding of Christ. Never stop learning about Christ. Never stop. Like I said, I was saved at 23, I'm 48, and I've only scratched the surface of knowing Christ. Keep growing, keep learning, and find someone in your life who will hold you accountable. Find someone in your life that you can talk about Christ to. Why are we so ashamed to go to people and talk about Christ? I'm not talking about unbelievers, I'm just talking about other Christians. Find you somebody and have a spiritual conversation about Jesus Christ. Tell them what He's done in your life and listen to what He's doing in their lives. So important to hold ourselves accountable to grow in personal discipleship. And number three, remember Jesus Christ in fellowship with the church. You know why the church exists? One reason the church exists is to remind you of Jesus Christ often in your week. To help you remember Christ on a consistent basis. This is why we get together. We do a lot of things here. But the primary aspect of being together is remembering Christ. The early church remembered Christ every day. They listened to the apostles' teaching, they prayed, and they took part in the Lord's table. There's no substitute in your life than the church. It will help you remember Jesus Christ often in your life. This morning, church, we're going to remember Christ at the Lord's table. I love doing this on a regular basis. I hope you do. Because this brings us back to the centrality of the gospel. We're called to remember Christ as we go to His table this morning. I have a passage of Scripture that says it better than I could ever say it. 1 Corinthians 11, 23-25. It's on the screen. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, in the night He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." In the same way, He took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me." Church, we're going to His table to remember Jesus Christ this morning. If you're filled with sin, unrepentant sin, or you're filled with unbelief, don't come to the Lord's table until you repent. This table is reserved for folks living a life seeking to be pleasing to Christ. We're not perfect, we recognize that. But the aim of our lives, the pattern of our lives, is obedience, not disobedience. So we gather this morning at the Lord's table to remember the God-man. 100% God, 100% man, the unique Christ. We remember His sacrifice for our sins. We remember Him rising from the dead. All of that comes together in the Lord's table, and we simply gather to proclaim His death until He returns. I'm going to pray for us. Our deacons will come forward, and they will serve you the Lord's Supper this morning. Let's pray together, church.